Blog Talk Radio.
If you could help, if that's like he's connected, but we can't hear anything. Yeah, and reflected on his laptop, and so he tried calling in on his phone, and it's saying that multiple hosts were trying to call in, so. Okay, I'll try that, and then if it doesn't work, I'll call you back. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to disconnect from here and try calling.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on Monday, January the 29th of 2024. I am, in fact, your host tonight, The Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. Sorry we had a little technical difficulty, but sometimes you got to love technology. Sometimes, unfortunately, technical difficulties happen as much as we don't want them to. I don't know about you, but I don't want them. And I'm sure those of you listening don't want them any more than what I do. Which ultimately we don't want them. But sometimes they just, well, sometimes technical difficulties just happen. I'd rather them not, but sometimes it just happens. Kind of like the Lions having difficulties in some parts of their game yesterday. When you're up, the Lions ended up falling 34-31 to the San Francisco 49ers yesterday, but it wasn't without a fight. In fact, at one point, they were up 24-7. Yep, 24-7, they were up at one point. They were, and then, before halftime, it was the 49ers got it to within 14, and then they didn't look back. At one point, the 49ers had it to where they were up by 10, but then the Lions did get the final touchdown. But they got the final touchdown. Then they tried to go for the onside kick, which did not make it the whole 10 yards, but guess what? One of our guys decided to, I don't know if it was a guilty conscience or what it was, but he ends up touching the ball illegally when he wasn't supposed to touch it. And so, therefore, ended up being a penalty with less than 2 minutes left, and the 49ers ended up running it out. But, hey, Despite that loss, the Lions finished with a great season. This is the closest they got to the Super Bowl since 1991, in which they also lost the NFC Championship game. But that game was not as close as this one. The 1991 version was not as close as this version. Time they got pummeled by the Washington, at the time, Redskins, now the Commanders. Honestly, I wish they were still the Redskins. I think they should still be the Redskins, but some people, just got offended with it. I don't see how the name Redskins was even offensive. Do you, Jade, or no? I don't.
I stay out of that political stuff.
I will say this. I've heard arguments for it, but I don't see anything wrong with it. There's also potatoes called Redskin potatoes, isn't there?
Yes, there are.
So I at least tried to think they were talking about the potatoes.
They definitely weren't because of their mascot.
And a redskin, and if it was a redskin potato, the mascot would look different.
Yeah, their mascot would have been a potato.
And again, not to say anything bad, but the mascot is not a potato. And you would have said the same thing if it was actually a tomato and not a potato, but it's not. So now they go by the Commanders. But when referring to these older, because they're older, you know, games, you know, they're still referred to as the Redskins from back in that time, even as recently as like 4 years ago. So when they, because for a couple of years, they were just referred to as the Washington football team for a couple of years, which I thought in my mind was just kind of silly. I mean, honestly, to me, that does sound silly.
Yeah.
Like, why would you call them just the plain old football team? To me, I mean, that to me is just like, wait, what? That's all we're going to call ourselves, the football team? And then I'd be like, well, in that case, all your other teams are also the football team. But like, when you do that, you have no identity. No identity at all. And essentially, no mascot. I mean, I feel like you're supposed to have a mascot to be able to identify from the other team. What?
A big donut.
Yay! I mean, but who would go out as the donut? I don't know. Maybe somewhere down south, like Houston or something. Yep.
Yeah.
I say yeah, because in Houston, in Houston, I had a thing that was done on some show years ago. It was actually the mayor and some other people that were having this health discussion or something with some other people, and it was mentioned that Houston, that restaurant, that donut shops in Houston were 100 and some more popular than in similar cities in America, and like they tried to sound sad about it. Honestly, I'm proud of them for that. Because, to be honest, Houston is one of my, I really like Houston, to be honest. Even though I was only ever there for like 24 hours, I just always thought it was cool. I've always had something for certain more southern cities. Houston being one of them. And I just think it's interesting all the different cultures, the way they collide down there. And, like, and people will say, you know, it's different than, like, L.A., it's different from Chicago, different from NYC. Maybe it's because you have that Texas in the mix. Because, honestly, I really like Texas. And you say, you're not going to say anything about how hot it gets in the summer. No. I mean, it gets hot down there, but hey. Those who live down there, obviously, they know, but we've had days like that before here too.
Yes, we have.
That where they say it's similar to how a place like Dallas is every day, or Houston, or Austin. But in my mind, Austin's become kind of crazy. Not Dallas and Houston, thankfully. Hopefully, they never will become what Austin has. They better not. Because I think they're pretty cool. Like San Antonio, too, even though I've never been to San Antonio. I haven't been to El Paso either. But or Fort Worth, but I have been to the Dallas part of the Dallas-Fort Worth area and to Frisco, Grapevine, Moorshire on the Dallas side, and even flew into the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, which turns out to be the second busiest airport in America, Dallas-Fort Worth, and I really do, and but as they say to each their own. Oh, maybe it's the Dallas Cowboys, and the cowboy has a picture on it of the cowboy eating a great big donut.
Ooh.
I like that.
I do too.
A big Texas-sized donut, and it has a big thing of Texas on it.
I like this plan.
Yeah. Because if you're going to go big, I feel like it's got to be Texas-sized, of course. Because I feel like Texas is at least supposed to be the epitome of everything that's super-sized, super big. And the biggest mall I was ever in, other than Mall of America, was in fact in Galleria, although there is another mall in the city that I like just as much, I think, because I'd only been in each of these malls only once, but the other mall I like just as much is Memorial City Mall, because you may remember, Jade, I told you about that mall, didn't I?
You did.
Because one time I told you that I had even found a video where someone was walking around it even.
Yeah.
But he didn't mention everything was going on. But you did hear where he mentioned that there was still a McDonald's in it, didn't you?
Yeah.
And honestly, you know something else about this food court? They also have a Chick-fil-A in it. But at the time I went there, I wasn't super big on Chick-fil-A yet. As for why they named the mall Memorial City Mall, I don't quite know. Maybe there's a Memorial Drive nearby, but this mall actually, it turns out that via a skywalk, it is connected to both a Memorial Hermann Medical Center, which is a large hospital in the Houston area. No one near as big as the big, huge Houston Medical Center down on the south side of the city, which is like possibly the biggest medical campus in America. You remember hearing that one of the biggest hospitals in America was in Houston, right?
Heard that, yeah.
But it's not that campus. In fact, it's other end of town. And if you live down there, you know that city is super spread out. It really is. But like I said, it's connected to a hospital, Memorial Hermann Medical Center, and also to a Westin Hotel. Now the mall isn't super fancy dancy. The mall that is actually the much bigger Galleria. The Houston Memorial City Mall is like, I like to say, your average mall, but with a lot more. It has an ice arena in the mall. It has a Target as one of its anchors, a Dillard's, a Macy's, a JCPenney's, and a vacant Sears. I think it has a big arcade somewhere in there. If it doesn't, it needs A in the old Sears, because it would complete, my other favorite mall. There is a different mall that's like these outlet malls that I love so much, the indoor outlet malls. It's called Katy Mills, out to the west of it, about 20 minutes, down Katy Freeway or Interstate 10. But locals out there will call that part Katy Freeway. And so, yeah, like 20 minutes out to Katy Freeway further is a mall called Katy Mills. I've not been to Katie Mills yet, though, and I'm not saying for sure that I would like Memorial City more. I think I would, though, because for me, what I like about these southern places more so is they are more apt to have some of their bigger malls actually in the city themselves. Dallas has one like that, actually two. Houston has it, two of them also. Atlanta, yep. Tampa, where I was just at.
Yeah.
Orlando, Orlando though is kind of interesting. There's a lot of areas right near Orlando that'll have zip codes in that that makes it seem like they're in Orlando, even though technically they're not in the city of Orlando.
That makes sense.
So it's like that, and that includes one of the biggest malls in Florida called the Florida Mall, which is actually not in the city of Orlando at all. Same thing with this other mall called Mall of Millennia, which I have not been to, but I have been to the Florida Mall. And then, like I said, Atlanta, Georgia, Nashville, Tennessee, and different places like that. Louisville, Kentucky, Louisville and Lexington even, they have their biggest malls in the city themselves. But up here in Ohio and Michigan, none of the biggest malls are in the cities themselves. Like even you might say, what about Lansing? What about Grand Rapids? What about Detroit? Nope. They're all in suburbs or a township, all of them, which is, if you ask me, it's kind of wild. But it is what it is. But what I like about these southern malls is that they are often, very often, I mean, not 100% of the time, but a lot of times, the biggest ones are in the cities themselves. I know with Miami, that's not necessarily the case because Miami has a lot of addresses that are called Miami addresses, even though they're in, like, different townships and what have you. There were actually parts of Miami that had been annexed in, like, the early 1900s, but then in the 30s, for whatever reason, were de-annexed, which I think it's cooler, though, when the mall and what have you is in the city itself. As for why, I don't know. But these bigger cities, in my mind, they have more identity. But if you say, what are your favorite big cities in America? Yes, they are all southern. They are. If you say, is it by accident? I don't think so. I don't. Anyhow, it's just the way I see it, though, folks. But there's something I was trying to mention. No, I was in the middle of mentioning before we actually went live. And that is, you know, I believe God has blessings for us. I believe God has miracles for us. But in order to receive them, there are preachers who will preach, you know, that God has a miracle, you know. But you know what a lot of times they refuse to do, or for whatever reason will not do? They won't tell you that you got to obey him. They won't tell you that you have to obey, that you have to do what he said, that even these people who you know, in the Bible verses, you read about people that, you know, and they were given instructions to follow. Like in John, the blind man, he was told to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He was told to go wash his eyes. Go wash the mud out of your eyes, he was told. He could have been like, well, why would I go wash it out? What's it going to do? Well, what's even going to happen? He's like, you know, you'll wash and you'll see. By you'll see, I mean, like, you'll come home and see it. He turned out he came home and see it. I didn't mean the colloquial we'll see, like what we say here in our English language, like we'll see, as in we'll see what happens. Because you'll hear that all the time. am I here? You know, we'll see. Like, I was like, we'll see what happens. We'll see if we can do that. We'll see it, you know?
Right.
But I mean, from it, like, you go wash at home. I mean, you go and wash at the pool. You will come home seeing with your eyes. And he came home seeing with his eyes. And then there was all these people there to interview him. And then these other was like, oh, his mom, his mother's there. And he's like, oh, he's of age. Go ahead and ask him. Because they wanted to ask his parents. As if he wouldn't be able to answer the question. And I'm like, some of it was kind of like the news media of today. Used to be they'd report. Used to be you'd listen to the news, you'd watch the news, and they'd give you all, and they'd tell you everything and all that, you know, and that's that. Now they want to talk to all these different people. They want to get that person's prediction. They want to get that person's prediction. They want to get this person's analysis and that person's analysis and the third person analysis. They get the analysis of the analyzer. And then some people almost act like the news is their prophet.
It's true.
Yeah, some of them all like think, oh, the news is my prophet. They have all the answers. Duh! These news media people, most of, a lot of times, they're as clueless as you and I in the natural. They're as clueless as you and I. They are. So they'll sit there and try to get all these answers. Truth is, a lot of times, they don't know. You know, they don't know. They don't know what will happen with the economy. They don't know what will happen. Yeah, we'll try to predict who will be in the White House. Well, you know, people tried to, you know, people, you know, last election, there were people who would try to say that the guy showed them who would be in the White House. And most of them did not come out and say, we missed it. We were wrong. Only one that I know of did. I'm serious. But, you know, but you put your trust in God. Put your trust in God. Don't put your trust in, you know, so-called earthly prophets. Certainly don't put your trust in chariots and horsemen. The Bible said, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. But I put my trust in the Lord my God. That's what I put my hope and trust in. Amen. Now I'm going to do my housekeeping stuff. Okay. But so anyhow, I want to remind you of a couple of quick things that I always try to remind you of. Number one, the book Rivers of Miracles is the story of my life and how great God has been, how he's always been there for me, no matter what, not only I've faced personally, but even in our family. And, you know, we've trusted in God. And he's always been there for us. Even when there might have been times where we weren't so sure what to do. If you've lived on this earth for like a certain amount of time, there's going to become a point where, at least for a minute, you're like, what do I do? I'm stuck. It might be like you can't figure what's going on, why it ain't working, what's going wrong, what stuck in a rut, you don't know why you are, but you know, we've trusted in God. We've trusted in God. Maybe you were going through big, huge stuff. Maybe some of you, it was just you were stuck in a rut. Weren't sure where to turn next. Lost hope. Maybe you felt depressed for whatever reason. But you turned to God. You know, and God has helped us.
he's helped me. And you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com, to get the book Rivers of Miracles into your life. I want you to read the book. I really do want you to read the book. I'm not just talking about it to try to, you know, get you to, you know, make my, you know, to try to get you to think about the book or try to get you to anything like that. Oh no. What I'm doing is I'm saying you can go online to the website Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to get the book. Get the book into your hands. You can find and you can buy the book on that website. And when you read it, you'll be glad you read it. You really will be glad that you read it. I know that for a fact, that you will be glad that you read it. And I pray that it'll increase your faith. I pray that for you, that it will, in fact, increase your faith. And just avail yourself to the book. Let it minister to your soul. Amen. Just let that book just, you know, minister to you. Amen. The other thing I want to remind you about really quick is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. You can sow your seed into the program. And I don't tell you how much to sow. I don't do that. I'm not going to start turning my episodes into fundraisers. You sow as God leads you. You go online to paypal.com, and then in the search bar, you'll type in my name to sow your seed. And you can type in Rivers, bar, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, if you would, please, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I would like you to keep in mind related to that is that the first star in Rivers is capitalized, as is the S in Shukla, along with that space between Rivers and Shukla. And you can just keep that in mind as you sow your seed. And when you sow it, you just, and you let, and you know, I don't do pressure offerings here. I am totally no pressure. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to give. I'm not. And thanks to Laura and Natalia and those of you who have given, thank you. Believe in God for more people to sow seed. Believe in God for more and more people to tune into this program. And I'm just believing God for that. And I know that it's going to happen. I do. I just keep trusting Him. I keep trusting His word. And I know His promises are not void. They won't come back to me void. I know that for a fact. And so, now I'm going to sing a couple of songs and then get into the word of the Lord. Not what a moment you live in, you have the freedom
I have found in you. You're the healer. You're the healer. Yeah. Not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you. My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. Yeah. One of freedom. You have power in your hands. You have given me a second chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, yeah. I'm not going back, moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. Not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you. My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. Moving forward. You make all things new, yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. You make all things new, yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. Yeah, you make all things new. Yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Christ is my firm foundation, my rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad as I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. No, he won't fail. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't fail. I still got joy in Kata. I've got peace and that makes no sense. And everything around me is shaking. He's never been more glad. I put my heart life to Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. No, he won't fail. He won't fail. He won't fail. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Yes, rain came, wind blew. My house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew. My house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. I'm gonna make it through. I'm standing strong on you. I'm gonna make it through. Yes. My house was built on you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad. 'Cause I've put my life in Jesus. He's never let me down. Faithful through generations. He's never, why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for this time that we have together. Thank you for every listener who has tuned into this program tonight. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you don't fail. You don't let us down. You haven't failed before. You're not failing right now. You're not going to start failing us either. Thank you, Lord God, that no matter what it is that we face, no matter what it is, we put our hope in you, we put our trust in you, Lord God, that we just know that you're going to be there. You're there. You're there in us right now. You're making a way for us right now when it seems like there is no other way. You're making a way for us. Even if it feels like we're just stuck, you know, you're still there. You're still making a way. Your hand is on our life. It's great to serve you. It's great to walk with you, Lord God. It's great walking with you. And I thank you, Lord God, as we get into your word, that these people have ears ready to hear it, minds ready to receive it, that your word is, that it is fruitful. Your word does not come back void. It doesn't come back non-working. It comes back working because your word works, your word God, that these listeners will be focused on you, that they would fix their eyes on you. And I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners come into this program. And most of all, most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this, listening to this program. In Jesus' matchless name. And I also thank you, Lord God, that you are healing every body. You're strengthening every mind. You're doing miracles for these people that they ask you for. I may not know what all miracles they need, but I thank you, Lord God, that you are the miracle-working God. And I thank you for evidence coming in that people will give testimonies as a result of them receiving what they've been believing you for so long. And I thank you that you are the miracle-working God. Thank you for your miracle-working power being made manifest. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you, if you got the Word of God, if you got your Bible, I mean, go with me, if you would, to the book of Daniel. I want to talk to you about Daniel. And the lion's den. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. I don't know what we would do without it. I don't know what we would do without it. Who knows? But thank God for the word of God. Actually, you know what? No. Three. We'll go to three. Daniel 3. I'll begin with verse 1. And I'll go right to verse 1 as is common for me. Oh, that's the fiery. Yep. Actually, you know what? We'll talk about the fiery furnace and how they refused to bow. How they refused to bow. Chapter 3, Daniel, going to start with verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. It was 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image that he had set up. In other words, we could basically say he sent the whole government. Mm-hmm. Yep, he sent the government. There. Verse 3. So the sacrifice, the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials. In other words, the government assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of a horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the fiery furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, the astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. And they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harps, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, some teenagers, in fact, whom you have sent over to Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods, nor do they worship the image of gold that you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, and all kinds of music, in other words, when you hear the band play, when you hear our music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image that I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a fiery furnace. Then what God, little g, will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, or Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the fiery furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. He ordered the furnace turned 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, throw them into the fiery furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the fiery furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the three men, firmly tied, fell into the fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, the three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. Well, in other words, you know, as we would say now, yeah. Verse 25, he said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. And no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So, see here, these people, young boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, teenagers, like 12, 13, 14 years old, they decided, nope, we're not paying attention to this music. We're not bowing down to that God. We're not bowing down to that image, bowing down to what that represents. They're like, you know, we were taught better than this. They took a stand that even Nebuchadnezzar at the end of that chapter, he admitted, like, I'm so glad that these boys took a stand for what they believe in. They took a stand publicly. For all they know, maybe their friends were there. For all they know, their friends were there, and maybe their friends would have been like, hey, Shaddy, Meshach, hey, Benny, come on, you gonna do it? Oh, Benny, oh, Shad, you know you wanna, come on. They're like, nope, we're not. We don't do that here. We're like, no, we're not. Look, yeah, did you hear what happens if you don't? Well, yeah, but guess what? I know my God's going to deliver me from it, and even if he doesn't. They said even if he doesn't, even if the smoke gets to us, and you know, that doesn't mean that he's not a saint, that he doesn't save. And so, you know, that then they even get given another chance. They still don't bow. They still don't bow. Well, they even try to play the music again. They're like, nope, That's not changing nothing. We're not bound. People can be so confused so easy and just decide, you know what, fine. Some people will be like, you know what, fine. I'm just going to do it this way you said. I'm just going to, you know, they'll be like, oh, if it makes you feel better. If it, they're like, well, I don't want to make you mad. I mean, like, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to upset you. I don't want, you know, to be like, I'll just do what's convenient. I'll just, you know, the convenient thing for him to do would have been for him to just bow. But they decided, nope, we're not doing it.
Right.
We're not bowing. They decided, we are not bowing. We are not bowing. They said it right to the king's face. Right to the king's face. We could hear it. And all those astrologers are there. All those other people are there. All those musicians are there. All those other people are gathered. You know, all the people are gathered at that great big, you know, area outside or whatever. Yeah, they're all gathered. And they're like, and everybody gets down and worships. Not those three men. Not Peter. Not Shadrach, not Meshach, and not Abednego. There's four, and there's that fourth man that was in that fire that was heated up seven times hotter. That was Jesus in that fire. You know what? God goes with us in that fire, in that situation that we're facing, whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever caused it, whatever, you know. You might be in a fiery furnace, maybe not literally. In that case, you know, the less heat, the better. But you know, whether you know, God can help you through whatever it is. You know, they knew God had them, even in that fire. Though they were in that hot fire with their trousers on, in other words, with their pants on, with their robes on, you know, they're wearing the things that they're generally supposed to be wearing. Nobody said, okay, since we're throwing you in the fire, I guess we'll just give you a little T-shirt or something. Nope. Thrown in fully clothed into that fire. And usually, you know, if you got clothing on, the clothing gets burnt. You know, it gets burnt under it. You. The clothing gets burnt, so will you. But it didn't even get burnt. It didn't even get singed. It wasn't even singed a little bit. It didn't even have like a little bit of smoke damage on it. Like to where maybe it wasn't fried in terms of high heat, but maybe there was some smoke damage or something. Nope. There wasn't no smoke damage. Their hair didn't have it. Jesus was with them in the fire. You say, well, you know, you imagine you might say, well, it was in the Old Testament and Jesus wasn't birthed yet. Well, in natural form, he wasn't, but, oh, God, was there in that fiery furnace. The Lord was in that fiery furnace with him, helping him, making a way for him, when there was no other way. And those three boys could have been all worked out up about it and been like, well, we won't bow. But at the same time, we're worried about that fire. They could have said, "Well, we won't bow, but we're worried about that fire." That God was going to be there with them, and that even if he wasn't, even if that it wasn't worth giving up, because they were standing, going to make a stand for their God. And then after he calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of that fire, and he's like, thank you for standing up for what you believe in. And he's like, mention to him, you stand up, you have stood up for what you believe in. People will talk big. They'll say they love God. But will you burn in a fiery furnace for your Jesus? Would you? Would you die for your Jesus? Would you suffer for your Jesus? Or would you say no because it was that convenient? Jesus died so we could stay here, so we could worship him without shame, without pain, without sorrow. What do we do for him? Do great exploits for him. Some of us do great things for him. Some of us just talk big. Some of us might just talk big, but we miss all kinds of services all the time. We skip tons of church. You got Christians who will use the Lord's name in vain. To some people, they've got other things in front of their God. Some people, well, they love certain things on earth more than what they love the Lord, their God. Which at that point means they're getting into idolatry. And an idolater is simply someone who puts something in front of God beyond what they had in God. In other words, they decided, I love this more than God. This is more important to me than God, whatever it is, whether it be their child, whether it be, their job, an actor, an actress, a friend, different things. But if you say you love Jesus, you got to be able to stand up for him. You got to be able to stand up for him. Tell people that you love him. People should know that you're a Christian. If they don't, why don't they? We'll be in the restaurant or whatever, and we pray over our food, some of us, they'll see the Christian bumper sticker and all that, and they'll see this thing and that thing and other things. And they might be like, well, you show, seems to me like you're a Christian, but will you stand up for him? If not, why? Say we love Jesus. We should have it in us to stand up for him. And let me tell you something, folks. We're in the last of 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 the last days. The trumpet could blow at any time. Do you miss it? Will you have it in you to take a bullet for your Jesus? Because then what will happen is they'll round up Christians. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Over here, we're going to shoot. Are you a Christian? No. Are you one? Yep. Tell us. Are you? No. Are you one? Yep. Wrong. You deny Jesus by saying no, that you're not a Christian? It's too late. You are going to hell, fire, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Don't be found on that list. Please. Do not be found on that list. I don't plan to be on that list. The rapture. And as I like to say, in case you wonder what that conference is going to sound like, it's not something at some football game we're at, or even a trumpet like at church or something. It's not the trumpet from. It's not even the trumpet from Cap. It's not that either. And that's from the Marines either. It's not that. It's different. Some people say we'll hear it with our own ears. Others say it'll just be all spiritual. But when we hear it, it not only comes with a trumpet, it comes with a shout. Again, not from a stadium. It's the voice of an archangel. So it won't be like anything earthly. Oh, no, 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 no. You better be ready for it. Because let me tell you what Jesus is not going to do. He's not going to say, now, folks, attention. Attention, everyone who follows me. In about 2 weeks or a month or so, we'll just say this. In 3 weeks, we're going to do the trumpet. We're going to do the trumpet. You'll hear the sound of the trumpet. You'll hear my voice of the archangel. It'll be really loud. You can't miss it. And you might, I won't even tell you what time, but just in 3 weeks, you'll hear it. And I'm just telling you ahead of time so that all of you who serve me will be ready. And that any of you who you want to bring with me will have an opportunity to get fixed, get right, repent, be ready for my coming. It doesn't sound to me like he's going to do that. Does it sound to you like he's going to do that?
I don't think so.
Nope. Not according to verses that I've been reading, but not according to what I've been taught. That's not the way it's going to happen. It's going to be at a time that we do not expect it. At a time when people do not expect it. I mean, those of us who are right, we know it's coming. But so many of God's people, they're not even concerned. They're not the least bit concerned. 60 years ago, 80 years ago, 100 years ago, even, they would act different. They'd be like, well, the Lord could come any day. Better not say, the Lord could come any day. Be ready. He could come any day. Just be ready. But these days, you don't see that kind of urgency. I mean, some of us are severe, yeah. But in others, it's like, you know, buy, sell. I mean, people think, you know, it's perilous. It's more perilous. In other times, but they'll still buy, sell, marry, eat, drink, buy, sell, marry, be given in marriage, like they were until Noah entered the ark. Also, just like the day, just like before the day of Lot. Out of Sodom and Gomorrah, not everybody made it. Only Lot made it, including Sister Salt. She didn't make it either.
Sister Salt.
Yeah, Sister Salt. Why? Because she looked back. Disobeyed God, looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. That's why she's Sister Salt. she didn't make it. But you see, with Noah's family, with the ark, 8 people in the family, they all made the ark. He warned his family. Everybody listened. Everyone about the ark rode on. Yep. The other people banging on the ark, begging, let us in! Let us in! Nope. Gonna be like in the rapture, folks. People, you don't want to, I don't plan to hear Jesus say, no, River Shukla, I never knew you. I never knew you. Yeah, well, I did this radio, and I went to church, and I paid my tithe, and I love you, Jesus. I never knew you. No, I don't plan on Jesus saying that to me. I do not see him saying that to me the least bit. I believe he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. No, I don't say that all prideful or nothing. I just feel like, Jesus would be proud of me. But I'm still going to keep doing what God's called me to do and finish what God's called me to do on this earth. In the time that's left, I plan to do, what God's called me to do. And then to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. That's what I plan to hear him say. I hope, listeners, that's what you plan to hear him say. So I got to be able to stand up for him when that time comes. You got to be able to stand up for him and not just go, oh, well, I guess I love him, but I don't know if it's convenient. I choose to stand up for my Jesus because I love him. And there's some thing set outside, and what have you, and everyone's gonna bow down. Nope, not me. Now, if it's actually the altar of God, people are worshiping the Lord, yes. But in the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it wasn't. I plan in my life to make a stand for what I believe in because I know who I am believing in. I don't have to sit here and try to guess. I'm not playing that game. I'm not going to sit here and try to guess. I know who I am believing in, and I know God's promises for me are yes and amen. And I'm glad it's not maybe, and I guess.
Right.
like the old I guess. You might hear people say, well, I guess I'm supposed to do this. Well, I guess my word says I'm going to. Nope. Jesus didn't sit up there going, I guess, like some people do, even if they don't have a problem doing certain things. But every other word they'll say is, I guess.
Yeah.
And some of it, it's not even like they don't want to either. They're just used to saying, I guess, all the time.
True.
And it's like. But I thank God that his promises for us are their yes and amen. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that we would take this challenge that we were given in your word, that we would stand up for what we believe in. Doesn't matter how hard it is. Doesn't matter what, might have been placed in front of us. Doesn't matter what the consequences might seem if we choose not to bow, that we would choose to stand up for you, Jesus, even if it doesn't seem easy, that we would just stand up for you, Jesus, no matter what, that we would stick up for you, that we would that we would declare, be unashamed to declare that you are Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.